Welcome back, Survivor fans, for episode 14, season finale of season 23 of Survivor South Pacific.
This is Survivor South Pacific?
I
thought we were doing a recap of the 700 Club.
I must have missed that one.
Do you not know what the 700 Club is?
Is that the televangelist guy?
Yeah, it's Pat Robertson's news show. It's, you know, all sorts of gaudiness. Not gaudiness, gaudiness.
Yeah, holiness.
Holiness, yes.
Faithativity.
Faithativity, that too, yep.
I'm your host, Ralph, with fellow host, Chris. And fellow is not part of the title of Chris. It's just an adjective I'm putting in front of his title, which is host, like me. Oh, contrary to what Chris might tell you.
I see.
Yeah. Your title's not fellow host, it's host.
I wouldn't mind being just, like, fellow. You know how they have, like, fellows at, like, certain institutes and universities and stuff like that? I wouldn't mind that.
All right. Well,
I could be hosting fellow.
We have a very long and lengthy discussion of the Survivor finale coming up with, some twists and turns along the way, and I feel like a deserving winner, but we'll suss that out, to use her words, as we go. Why don't you go ahead and start us off with the return from Brandon's ouster?
Oh, well, I mean, Coach delivers the line of the season. I hope everybody else picked up on it. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. And I quote, I got it word for word. I made sure I had it all written down just right. Coach says, "I'm sick of people coming out here and trying to look like they're holier than thou." I mean... The cameraman who was shooting that shot must have been like, oh, wow, I'm getting a promotion for this one. I mean, this is the line of the season here.
It was the sound guy holding the boom mic, being like, trying to not lose his stuff. And,
make sure he doesn't slip in the sand. Oh, man. I know. Coach, doesn't it bother you when people get a little holier than thou? I mean, phew.
Man, it's a shame when people try to act more righteous than others, you know?
Oh, no kidding. I mean,
terrible.
That really gets my goat.
So, you know, this is like the ultimate pot and kettle situation, right? So
yeah.
They were around the campfire. There were pots and kettles there, so...
Indeed.
That's indeed. Why that happened?
He also was standing in a glass house, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. clutching a stone.
I kind of came back and rewatched it after we talked in pre-production about it, and
pre-production. Yeah, no,
we're going inside.
That's laughable, right there.
We're going inside the tribal council production, behind the scenes. You're getting a look behind the curtain. Sorry.
And this just in: there's nothing there.
What was I going to say? Oh, hey, there was a look at the pre-production last time we published a podcast. You got to hear our pre-show audio.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, what the heck? I give everybody the info on how to contact us. Like, I'm begging for people to contact us. And when I leave a minute of us just jabbering before we actually start the podcast on the podcast, nobody tells me. I have to wait for my fiance to download it and be like, why am I listening to you counting?
Let's just be glad we didn't embarrass ourselves, Chris.
We got
away clean on that one. It was in response to Albert coming back, and Sophie and Coach kind of put the screws in. They're like, you knew Brandon was going home, right? And Albert tries to go, no, I didn't think he was honestly going home tonight. And that set Coach off. Like, he was like, I have no time for these guys who are double-talking, jury-pandering. If you do this, you're out. And, like... It was such a hard line for a guy who, like, never sets hard lines. It was so uncharacteristic.
What do you mean, never sets hard lines?
Dude, he's not Hans. He can't, like, be like, okay, if you do this, you're out. Like, he's
but
not
he
wrong.
Does try to set hard lines. Like, he did
but
it.
But it's.
Think back to the tribal council where they, where Upolu was very split on who should be going home next, Edna or Michaela. And they actually, like, the votes went very much half and half. And they were very, Coach was very clear about loyalty and you're with us, and, you know, you need to be with us, and if you go against us, yada, yada. I mean, it was, you know, it was ultimately an empty threat, but he was very, I mean, the Cochran ends up saying it much later on when in his vote, but like, Coach's game is not at all any different from, I shouldn't say not at all, is not terribly dissimilar from Russell's game. The only difference is Coach does it under this veil of honor and integrity BS, and Russell was, like, very upfront about, I'm going to be a jerk to the people who aren't with me, and the people who are with me, I'm going to be fiercely loyal to. The only thing was is he didn't have to actually explicitly state, I'm going to be fiercely loyal to them. He just was. Like, which actually is usually a good pH test of who's actually loyal and who's not really loyal. Usually it's
how much
guy...
I have to tell you
exactly.
To be loyal to
how,
you.
However much you have to tell me you're loyal is a great indication of how not very loyal you're going to be to me.
Yeah, and that kind of seemed like that was the theme coming out of this episode, is that people who attempted to do one thing ended up causing the opposite of what they wanted to cause anyway. So,
right.
And I like, you know, obviously the irony of that is delicious, so.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Let's move on to the final Redemption Island challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Brandon and Ozzy, and it seemed like wrapped in a gift for Ozzy that they would be clenching basically a tree trunk for
right.
as long as they could. So you're talking about, you know, right up his alley, that was it. And, you know, you hope that there's no, you know, funny business in the backgrounds of how they're planning these challenges, that this is, like, going to be the final challenge no matter who was there. So
right.
I certainly hope that's the case.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. It does certainly feel like, wow, they kind of teed this one up for Ozzy. But
yeah.
On the other hand, the others certainly were not teed up for him.
Right, the maze thing.
Yeah, the maze against Cochran, the block puzzle against Edna. I mean, those are not things that are necessarily Ozzy's bread and butter. So
yeah.
I like the challenge. Considering that compared and then what ultimately end up being our final two immunity challenges, I feel like this one was actually the most in line with, you know, final challenges.
Yeah. Traditional yeah. final challenges, this was the most in line.
And even still, I didn't even feel like this one was that in line with it, because the ones that I feel like are those prototypical final challenges for Survivor are the pure will challenges, the just stand there challenges, you know. And this is close, but and Jeff tries to even sell it this way when they're doing it. You know, he's like, this is just a battle of wills. And I would have been, oh, this isn't a battle of wills. This is about strength. This is about keeping
yeah.
your grip and footholds.
Yeah.
This isn't just a battle of wills. This isn't stand there and hold this plate without losing a ball for forever, you know. And don't get me wrong. They went, what, 40-plus minutes? That was impressive. I was very impressed with Brandon's fight, but I would love to see them bring back, you know, the more purely
mm-hmm.
Battle of the Wills challenges.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to argue that at all. I did enjoy watching Ozzy negotiate the top of that pole without coming ever so close to putting his hand on top of there, and I was
yeah.
thinking at one point that was going to happen.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to stick his chin up there or something at one point.
Right, and it was just going to be like a momentary slip, and he would just sort of like grab mm-hmm. for it, and then he would have been disqualified, and that would have been horrible.
That would have been awful.
Horrible way for him to go out, and I would have been really, you know, upset about that. So,
I wonder, why do they make the pole so tall? Do you think it's just for dramatic effect?
I think it gives you a chance to recover, and for dramatic effect, but I think it gives you a chance to recover. Plus, watching guys cling to a pole that's like 6 foot high would have been really silly, or 8 foot high. That'd have been
silly. It just seems like it's so high that, like, if you have some sort of accident up there, like, it's a long way to fall. I mean, I realize you're falling to sand, so it's not that bad.
It's like a story and a half. You're not going to break anything.
I guess. I don't know.
And you're falling on sand, aren't you?
I guess.
Yeah, whatever. So, you know, Brandon's eliminated, and we're left with our final warm and fuzzy moment of the game, and it was the worst of them, because, like, Probst just, like, tease it up for Brandon. Like, you know, mm-hmm. obviously he goes into his, like, you know, revering God mode, and he's like, thank you, Father, blah, 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 and Jeff's like, oh, Brandon, you seem almost jubilant. Why could that be?
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you serious, Jeff? Have you watched this season?
Yeah.
Do you understand what's going on inside that guy's brain? Like, he's clearly, like, a God freak. Like, he's nuts about it. So, you know, just let him have his little moment and then let's move on. Like, there's no need to ponder that moment anymore. We spent a whole season doing that.
Yep.
Okay, I'm glad you're as perturbed as I am, or maybe not. I don't know.
No, I mean, I was... I was no more perturbed than I have been at any other.
Yeah, you really let it out. You really let it out last pod. You really did.
I did. It's just Jeff goes into Dr. Phil mode. Share your story. What's your story? And it's like, actually, it's not even Dr. Phil mode. It's like Barbara Walters' 10 most interesting people mode.
There you go.
And it just get it out of here.
Before the next challenge, we come back to camp, and Coach is really excited because he says it's his game to win. He's like, I got everybody wanting to take me to the Final Three, and my only thought was, that's not a good thing. You don't want everyone wanting you to be there at the Final Three with you, because that means they don't consider you the biggest threat.
Right. Not only that, but, he didn't put it that way. He wasn't saying they all want to take me to the Final Three.
He says, I'm...
They all think I'm taking them to the Final Three.
Right.
And the problem with that is he doesn't have the foresight to think about the fact that that means there's two of these people who I'm going to have to disappoint.
And not get their votes from.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, like...
What'd you think of his analogy of being up 14 with 4 minutes in the NBA Finals?
I didn't know where that came from or what
that had to do with
anything.
I didn't
know
if you liked the NBA. Like...
Is he up 14 because that's how many people have been eliminated? Is that what it is? I don't understand.
Is it 4 minutes because there's 4 days left?
4 days left? Or there's four of them left?
Four
I don't know.
Left. Oh, yeah, that's true. We started with 18. That's a good point.
Oh, actually, no, there wasn't four of them left. There was five of them left at that point. Mm. So they hadn't eliminated 14 people.
So we're going to Tribal Council. No, sorry.
No,
we're going
immunity
to the
challenge.
First immunity challenge. Sorry. I thought my notes were out of order here. So... first community challenge, we have, I was disappointed to see the House of Cards, but then,
yes.
There are like two little twists to it. So the first thing is, they have to hold that thing in place on a seesaw, which I thought was great.
Uh-huh.
And then two, like Sophie stacks up this great tower and she's like, I'm out of tiles, Jeff.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, work with that. And so you have limited resources on top of having to balance it, which I thought
rather
added,
limited resources.
Right.
Which was interesting, because I don't think they've done that in the past.
And they got more limited if you dropped any, so...
Well, but you could go get them.
Yes, but if you got them, then you lost whatever you had already, so...
Right.
And there, I only saw one person do that, which was Coach. And I
didn't understand... Well, that was one of the things I didn't understand about this challenge. Like, people got to a point and they realized they weren't set up well, they needed to do something else...
Drop it.
With their tower. Yeah,
drop
what's
it.
What's with taking it down a card at a time?
Drop it.
Like, Sophie, as I sort of understood, because she had built a really solid structure, and so, you know, if she can take it down, you know, just halfway, I sort of get that. But Ozzy's, like, his was not, I don't know, his, when he started taking it down, didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand why he didn't just
drop the
whole
thing. He took it down to the base. Yeah, he took it down to the base.
Right. But I like the challenge, especially since they brought in the new twist of having to hold it, and of course the not enough pieces underlying twist, if you will. And obviously, Sophie, if there's ample cards, Sophie runs away with this, I think.
Okay.
So,
but do you think that was the only limiting factor for her?
Oh, I definitely do. I mean, because here's the thing. Is not only was she neck and neck with them, she was neck and neck with them, and she was placing way more cards per tier, which means she was really working way faster, and she was also building a much sturdier structure.
You know why that is, Chris?
Well, I know. She has a book at home.
She has a book at home. And more importantly, Chris, someone's making money writing books on card houses. This bothers me.
The funny thing is she did – what she did was she built a house of cards, you know, the way you're supposed to build a house of cards, not a house of small wooden chips. And those wooden chips are much different. You can get away with a lot more instability.
They have a third dimension.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the way she built hers was the way you're supposed to build it when you're working with paper-thin playing cards.
Yeah. All right, so Ozzy going the slow and steady route, the tortoise route, takes it. And they return to camp, and suddenly everyone talks about how Rick is a threat. And this was, like, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I mean, the argument that the jury's going to respect a guy who never made a move and stuck to a tribe because they wanted him there.
Yeah, it's...
It has no argument whatsoever.
Well, that's if it's a jury made up of you, me, Russell, Cochran, and David from last season, you know? But I think there's legitimacy to what they were saying about Rick being dangerous. I mean, he's dangerous for the exact reason that Natalie won in Russell's first season, and the same reason Tina won in the Australia season, and the same reason anybody ever won who didn't do squat. You know, that they flew under the radar, and they were nice to everybody, and, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, they showed up and happened to be in the right place at the right time.
So you're saying the people who were remaining were better off sitting with sharks than with, you know, the guppies that they had been swimming with?
Sometimes, yeah. Yes.
I don't know that Rick could have made the case to earn the respect of some people on that jury. So
that I agree with.
Looking at people, just based on how Edna spoke, I don't think he could have gotten Edna's vote.
Correct.
Dawn.
Jim. I disagree. Dawn, I think, might have gone for him.
No, she was loving Sophie, especially after the way things went down at the first tribal council.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, ultimately...
Cochran
would never have voted for Rick.
Ozzy would have never voted for Rick.
But, they were wise to have their radar up about him, but they ultimately... But any of the three of them should have not worried about it because of the fact that they all should know that they could out-talk him easily at the final tribal council.
Yeah, this argument was so pointless to me, and the whole aspect of that scrambling mode should have been, you know, there's this additional element of there's a team game going on here now too. It's like we need to get Ozzy out or he's going to win this thing. So as a group, they should have come to the conclusion that their best chance of eliminating Ozzy during the next challenge was to vote Rick off. He was never going to beat him.
Well,
that was the conclusion they had to come to.
Well, yeah, that was the correct reason to get rid of Rick. Yes, is that he was not a good candidate to actually beat Ozzy. So yeah, so voting him out because he's too strong at the final tribal council it makes no sense.
Right.
But voting him out because he can't beat Ozzy makes complete sense.
But have we seen this at this juncture late in the game where, you know, where that's like we have to vote this guy off, or else he's gonna beat us? I guess the last time would have been season 20 with Russell when the guy in the orange shirt got down to the end. Kept winning immunities. Same, very Aussie-like.
I can't remember his name. Was it, it was the rocket scientist, wasn't it?
I think you're thinking of, Mitsu, whatever her name was. You know what I'm talking about on Bayonetta?
Yeah, I know you're, yeah. No, but I think he was also a rocket scientist.
He was a t-shirt designer.
A t-shirt designer? Oh, mm-hmm. Maybe I... Oh, yeah. The blonde guy. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the other guy, John, who was also on that tribe, but was
but
a
he wasn't,
scientist.
He was not... Yeah, he was, but he was not the one who made the run at the end.
Yeah, it was like Brendan or...
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so that was the same sort of thing where he had hung around longer than he was supposed to, and the group needed to get rid of him, and the only way they could is by beating him in a challenge, and it was the same kind of thing where, like, they had to make the group as physically strong as possible to try to take him out. Although in that case, they voted out...
You're misremembering things here.
I don't know. At that point, I'm trying to think about the final five in that season. It was Russell, the blonde girl. What's her name?
The blonde girl, Natalie. It was Mick and Jason.
Mick, Jason, and the other guy.
And he ended up voting out Jason.
Okay.
And then they were able to beat the other guy at the final at the final immunity challenge. Russell beat him himself.
You could argue in that case that their best chance to eliminate that guy was to keep the two guys, Mick and Jason, around instead of...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that didn't even come into play in that case, but definitely came into play in this case where it's like, well, as much as Rick may be beatable in the final three, he's not going to beat Ozzy, and that may just defeat the point anyways.
Right.
So they had to. So it was intriguing to see that team concept come back in the game.
Ozzy needed to make a stronger pitch here to get rid of Sophie.
Coach was the swing.
Yeah. And I don't know. Well, no, because I think you could have convinced Albert to go. I think either of them could have. Either of Coach or Albert could have been convinced to vote for Sophie. You just had to make a strong pitch. And, you know, this is where Ozzy doesn't have... You know, this is where Ozzy's game is weak, is the strategy and the social game and convincing people to do things. I mean, this was where he talked to Ozzy talked to Albert and revealed this coach gave me his word as a Christian man thing, and the way he packages it, like Albert doesn't even believe it, like. He believes it only in the sense that you have to take everything with a grain of salt and realize there may be a degree of truth to anything that's said, but he goes to Coach about it and tees it up for Coach to deny it because he so doesn't believe that Coach said this, or at least doesn't want to believe that Coach said this.
Well, Coach does a nice job of not answering the questions that are being pointed at him.
Yeah, the other thing.
Albert comes in with, You know. Did you tell him that you had made this? He says Ozzy told me that you gave him his word as a Christian man, which you obviously didn't do, right? And
Coach's response is,
I can't wait to vote his ass.
Exactly. Exactly.
So he doesn't even answer the question about whether or not he said it.
Exactly. Then, which was actually pretty decently done, although it was a little bit obvious to me. But.
Right. It was too obvious that he was being so evasive, and especially around Rick. Like, if you can't lie to Rick and tell him that, like, everything's good. Like, I don't know that you deserve to win this game, because he really should have been Rick, you're fine. Like, stop trying to...
Yeah.
He keeps trying to run away from Rick. Like, he's turning his back repeatedly.
Well, and that was the funny thing, is Rick kept saying, like, Coach is good at skirting the truth, but if you're paying attention... What? No, he's not good at skirting the truth. He's awful at it. Coach can't lie to save his life. He's completely obvious because he's hung up on his own honor and integrity BS that he doesn't want to actually flat out lie to somebody. I think in his mind there's a big difference between making a promise that he can't keep and then having to break it later versus actually outwardly stating something when he knows it to be false.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a difference of being able to tell the direct lie, knowing that that you have no intention of maintaining that promise versus just spinning in a different direction or being evasive. So I don't appreciate. I like it when someone just is like, oh, yeah, you're good. Like, you know, last season when my girl Ashley.
Yeah.
She was told by...
Oh, with Natalie?
Natalie. Natalie's like... She's like, has anything changed? And Natalie's like, nope, you're good.
Yeah.
And
that was when Natalie was going to vote her out.
Yeah,
and
she had no intention of doing that. And it was just perfect. It's like, yes, Natalie, good job. Like, you are awesome for being able to tell that lie. Although she could not play Rob, which is unfortunate. Whatever.
Right. What I want to know is how did Albert go from the previous tribal council... being the one who's going to go home, and then he doesn't because of the fact that Brandon gives him the idol, to the next tribal council, he's not even in the discussion. It's
Sophie
or
Rick. Yeah.
Like, that was really weird, especially considering how hell-bent Coach was on this. I hate it when people are holier than thou. I mean...
No, that's an excellent point. I think
very weird.
I was thinking about that last night. I just hadn't thought about it again this morning before our pod.
I mean, I think I Albert. I think he deserves was some credit for that.
Too big of a threat towards Ozzy. Like, this is a guy who can beat him in a challenge.
Even though, did Albert win any immunity challenges?
Yes.
I don't think he did.
I think he did. I think he won one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We can do a quick Wikipedia here.
Yeah, go ahead and Wikipedia that. I don't think he won any. I mean, at the first immunity challenge of this episode, when he handed it back to Jeff, I kept thinking, the first thing that occurred to me, I was like, wow, the only time you hand back the immunity necklace to Jeff, you didn't even actually earn it.
Yeah, he won.
Oh, he did?
He won November 30th.
So two and a half weeks, so episode 11? Or 12 by their count because of the recap episode.
Episode 11. There. Okay, the challenge was toss sandbags, land them on top of crates, and then knock over those masks.
I remember that now, yeah.
And he gave away his reward to Brandon and Coach.
That's right, I remember that now. Okay. Yeah. Alright, so he won one. But yeah, that was something that I feel like he should have done a better job politicking at the final tribal council about, you know. But, you know, one night I was the guy going home, and not only did I end up with immunity around my neck suddenly, but I then at the next tribal council wasn't even on anybody's tongue as somebody to come out.
I mean, it's not, we're not really at the point right now where we're going to critique jury strategy, but that should have been in play more. That definitely should have been in play.
Yeah. The other thing that I wanted to comment on here is the hidden immunity idol, I think, needs to be deemed useless earlier. I don't like that it's in play so long.
That you can get yourself into the final four.
Yeah. I mean, you have to make it useless at the final four. Otherwise, that just makes it totally...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to let it go this long, then you basically have one shot to vote out Coach. And he just sits there and hangs it as a threat, and being the cocky jerk he is, he doesn't even play it, but...
You didn't appreciate him not playing it?
No, I didn't appreciate it at all. The guy who likes to do the belt strap motion in me loves it, but... Which, by the way, Aaron Rodgers totally bit that from me, and I have you as witness to that.
The discount double check, what is it, from State Farm?
But in terms of gameplay, it was completely stupid. Because he comes off as a cocky jerk. Like, he's sitting in front of the jury. Play it so that they don't think you're an idiot, think you're just full of yourself. Because, by the way, they already think you're full of yourself. You don't need to, like, drive the nail into that coffin.
I don't know. I guess it's sort of rubbing it in their faces, but I don't know. I appreciate it. I think he could have, again, that's the good for using the jury. Like, I had this idol, I never played it to my advantage, and I was able to make my way through the game without, you know, ill effects.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that. You know, Russell couldn't have done it. Russell could not have done it. Not the way he was playing.
Well, yeah. I guess not.
And that's our, you know, patron saint right there, so.
Saint Russell. You know, a couple things from Tribal Council that I thought were interesting. One, Brandon sitting on the jury is just hilarious.
Yeah, he has, like, odd reactions to non-events.
Well, he's like a kid. He's absolutely like a kid on that jury. Like he's getting these, like, he's having these oh faces, like, oh my gosh.
Again, I think to non-events. Like, nothing was actually happening when he was making those little kid. Odd faces.
Yeah. It's because he's, you know, he's still just wide-eyed about everything. And, you know, he's just hilarious. Let's talk about Sophie's breakdown.
Yeah, so it comes from Ozzy relating that people who come through,
I think she's spoiled.
Redemption Isle call her a spoiled brat because she doesn't help around camp, and she's hard to talk to and get along with.
Yeah, she has a gruff exterior, yada yada.
I don't know if I wouldn't call it gruff. It's just she's that girl that's not
impersonal
and going to engage you in conversation. Impersonal is a good word. You know, she seems very academic and very, very sort of, not somber is the word I'm looking for, severe, I guess. Where, like, you know, she's not about having a good time. She's not out there to meet people. She's there to play the game. So, you know, from that front, it was understandable why people would think that of her.
Right.
And then Jeff kind of pokes the question a little bit more by asking Sophie if her question, her character has ever been called into question, and that really kind of turned it up.
Well, it
a notch.
Set her off a little bit. Well, no, she was already breaking down, and you know, Ozzy calls her out, and points out that, like, how is this any different? You know, you called me an arrogant jerk or whatever. Like, how is this any different? And Probst even puts her to it. And her defense was completely empty to me. Like, she made some sort of case about how his was more personal than hers. His attack on her was more personal than hers. And I was just... That dumbfounded me. I don't know, the streak goes both ways.
Like, if he didn't speak a sentence to her, then clearly you didn't speak many sentences to him. Like, you know, that getting to know you has to happen for both people.
Oh, I agree with you. Yes, you could certainly say that cuts both ways. But I don't understand. Like, but she gets called out on the double standard by Probst. Like, well, Ozzy just pointed out that you said crap about him and. But you're way upset that he said crap about you, but you've clearly been talking about him too. And she makes some case about how it feels how what he said was a much more personal attack or something. And to me that was just, I don't know, I thought it was empty words and
it was exactly what Jeff said. This is 37 days of
gameplay. Yes. I think that's what
lack
what
of
was
sleep
bigger,
and
a bigger fact.
Malnutrition and exposure to elements that's catching up with her, and you know, normally I could probably guess that the number of times she's broken down in her life like this is less than the number of fingers on one hand. You know, so she's a very strong individual. Clearly, she mentions it later on in the reunion, and it was sort of a culmination of emotion. I think everyone had that kind of moment this episode where they kind of broke down in the face of the long game. You know, Albert, I think. You know, I guess he's been showing it for a while now. He's getting real scrambly and paranoid. He's not really showing any kind of one direction.
Right.
And Coach had his lashing out at Albert coming back from the Brandon vote, and Ozzy kind of lost his way when he got to the second immunity challenge where, like, his brain locked up. And in spite of his 15 days of preparation on Redemption Island, he wasn't ready.
Right. Which, by the way... Probst talks about that in the reunion, and he talks about puzzles and references that Ozzy, this is in Ozzy's wheelhouse or something like that, that puzzles are Ozzy's thing, and I was like, what? When did puzzles become Ozzy's thing?
No. Yeah, I agree. Boston Rob, yes. Ozzy, no.
Yeah, I was perplexed by that. Let me ask you this about the breakdown. Probst, you know, once she really loses it, Probst goes into Dr. Phil mode.
Yeah, he builds her up again.
Which drives me nuts. And my question for you is...
You'd rather have him just turn the knife and leave it in there?
Oh, of course. Of course. Because that's what he does. And but my question is, do you think he would have done that if that were a guy? Because I don't. I think if that was Brandon, since Brandon has been prone to such things, I don't think he would have sat there and like, Brandon, you're still in this game. You need to get your stuff together because someone might vote you out for this.
Yeah.
Do you want an opportunity to tell everybody about how this isn't indicative and yada yada?
And maybe there are some statements about social norms there that. You know, require further exploration, but I don't know that it seemed particularly out of place for that moment. You know, she's a young kid on top of being a girl, so it's not totally out of this, you know, gentlemanly demeanor to do that kind of thing.
I just thought it was completely out of tune with his normal tribal council behavior. If it were at Redemption Island, I would have been totally okay with it. But you know, at tribal council, this is not how he conducts himself at tribal council. He picks and he pulls at every strand he can.
Yeah, he is supposed
until he gets this. Yeah. You're not supposed to backtrack when you get what you were looking for.
That's a good point. So the vote comes down, and it's Rick, and Coach gets up to give him the hug.
And Rick tells Coach to stick it.
And Rick gives him the Heisman.
Exactly. Have a seat, sir. And I love it. I mean, as much as I hate bitterness on the jury, in that situation, like, that's what you should be doing. You should not be giving a hug to the guy who just voted you out, the guy who preached honor and integrity and then just snaked you.
It just it brings us back to the central point of the problem with Redemption Island. This game is best played when it ends in bitterness and vindictiveness and wanting to tell the guy who voted you off, sit down, pal.
Exactly. Exactly. I was actually reminded of, like, I mean, I would never give a hug or high-five the guy who just voted me out, especially the one who I thought was with me and who turned on me. But it reminded me of, I can't remember the guy's name. It was like, you know, a young 20-something guy. This is back in, like, Survivor Palau or Guatemala or one of those. And he's like, and he gets totally blindsided. And he loved it. He absolutely like that's how I would be. Like I would
like, well, you wanna go out as like I would that.
Exactly, as much as I would hate being voted out, I would love that that's how it went down. Like in some sense there's a degree to which that's a sign of respect.
Yeah, because you respect me enough to blindside me.
You knew that if I had any inkling I was going home, I'd be able to work my way out of it. So you had to blindside me, you know? And I remember when his torch got snuffed, he turned to the rest of his tribe and he said, "Blindsided, nice." It was so great. It was so refreshing to just be like, I mean, obviously it's not.
I don't even think it was that long ago, because I recall what you're talking about. I don't think it was that long ago.
As much as we love the bitterness that comes with people being voted out that didn't think they were being voted out, that is equally refreshing, I think.
So we come back to camp, and I don't know, what do I have before the second immunity challenge?
I don't have anything.
Okay. All right, because that's what I'm not seeing what I have.
Well, I mean, there's Ozzy and Coach talk. That's what it was. Ozzy and Coach have their talk, because Ozzy aired the dirty laundry at Tribal Council about how Coach had given his word as Christian man, yada yada. And Coach tries to then go and give Ozzy a hard time, like he's the one who did something wrong here. You know, I told you not to tell anybody that. Like, the first thing that popped into my head is like, this is what like child abusers say. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm not calling Coach a child abuser or a child molester or anything like that.
These are careful times, Chris.
No, I know. I'm aware. Tenderly. I'm aware because of the Sandusky fines in the world.
Yeah.
We need to be very careful about what's going on here. But, I mean, you know, whenever anybody tells you to keep something a secret, whenever anybody, and particularly when anybody explicitly tells you to keep something a secret, odds are it's probably because there's probably more to it than meets the eye, you know, that like the reason you got to keep this secret is because I got promises with everybody else, not because these sorts of things need to be kept, you know, underground in general.
Yeah, I gotcha.
The thing I kept wanting Ozzy to say, and I think it would have, I think he might have really swayed Coach with this, is he kept giving Coach this "that's how the game should be" thing. It should be you and me and yada yada, which is just a bunch of BS. That like they're both just piling BS onto each other, and neither of them is going to be the first to say it stinks in here, you know. And what I wanted Ozzy to say to him was, tell him you want to be at the end there with him because I can beat you, because I think that would appeal primally to the warrior within Coach, and I use that in quotation marks. like, just tell him, like, I don't want to – don't say I want to be there at the end because that's how it should be. I want to be there with you at the end because I could beat you. And that will, like – that will pull the competitive nature in Coach out so that – because he – like, he'll want to beat you then even more at the end. And he'll want to not look like a coward who couldn't handle being at the end with you and tries to bring you to
you're asking Ozzy to play the social game that he doesn't have.
Well, yeah, I know. It's the social and strategic game that Ozzy is well noted to not have.
So the second immunity challenge, we have this giant sunflower of an obstacle course. Mm-hmm. Looks good. I don't know that the obstacles were particularly compelling. A hoop net, a crawl net, some ropes with some like lily pads on them, like a double rope, whatever. So they go to these stations, they get some pieces. I don't think it stacks up with like the mazes or the blindfold challenges that we've had in years past terms of like visual drama.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon
the maze that they had, was it last year's final challenge where Rob had where there was just that immense maze mm-hmm. and like. Natalie just stood at the base of the stairs because she didn't know where the heck to
mm-hmm.
go,
mm-hmm.
and Rob won there. Yeah,
that and my was girl great. Ash almost did it.
She almost caught him. Yep.
And in this one, there was the slowing down factor of the puzzle, and when you saw Sophie snap in the first piece,
yeah, that's when you knew it was over.
Ozzy, it was like and he describes it in like. The reunion as it being an out-of-body experience, and you can see that on his face. You can just see him look over at Sophie and be like, this isn't mm-hmm. happening right now. Like,
oh, yeah.
How is this possibly happening right now?
And no, I 100% believe him when he said that felt like an out-of-body experience.
They showed him trying to work out the puzzle while he still had the lead, and at one point he had that like daisy-looking piece, the one that looked like a little daisy. He mm-hmm. had it in the right spot in like the front right corner.
And
couldn't
the rest
get it
just
to fit.
Fit.
He couldn't get it to fit. And it's absolutely right that if he gets that piece to fit, he's in.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, he's in. He's
yeah.
He's
in, the first piece of that puzzle is the linchpin. The second you get one piece, the rest fall into place because now you know
the edge that you need for
the edge that
piece.
You need in each spot. Yeah. What I was surprised about is first of all, Albert and Sophie are playing like shadows in the game.
That made no sense.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And even worse, if they were, like, what they should have done is one of them should have been shadowing Ozzy. Slow him down by being on those little lily pad things and shaking the crap out of him. You know?
It's true. You could have played it as a team.
Yeah. That actually had more team team up ability in it than you realized at first glance. And they could have done some real damage to him that way.
That's an excellent point. I had not thought of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to camp, and obviously the three Oopaloovians are thrilled.
When Sophie won that challenge, I was convinced. I was like, as long as Ozzy goes home, Sophie just won.
I don't know that I made that conclusion yet at that point.
I was certain she had won it because she, I mean. I'm getting ahead here, but I didn't think Coach was going to stand up well at a jury. I thought it was going to be a toss up between Albert and Sophie.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't know.
Actually, I shouldn't even say a toss up. I thought they were the only two who had a chance.
But
I thought Sophie had a much better shot because, like, it seemed like Albert had been a lot of people had seen through his jury pandering. And, you know, Sophie had in her hands literally what she needed. She could say, like, I was the one who beat Ozzy, and that's something to hang your hat on, you know?
If it's all right with you, mm-hmm. I'd like to skip over any discussion of Ozzy potentially getting Coach to switch, because I don't know that Coach ever seriously thought about it. He would have been crazy to.
He would have been crazy to, but, I mean... Yeah, you know, now we know what his word as a Christian man means.
Well, yeah, I do believe in saying whatever it takes to get by in this game. It's just you're gonna.
Oh, I do too.
You're gonna have to pay the piper at some point down the line, and Coach did.
Exactly. You and I would play this game with honor and integrity tattooed on each of our shoulders. So I mean,
and I'm very wary about getting ink, but I'd do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't. It just drives me nuts. It's the
I will say, when the vote came down for Ozzy and Sophie's at the voting booth and she's like, I am the new Dragon Slayer. It was so lame. It was so, so lame. She didn't even, like, say it with any boldness. It was just...
Yeah.
Yeah. But Ozzy did successfully get voted off 3 times in one game. So, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, I guess nobody's ever been voted out 3 times.
3 times.
In one game.
3 times.
We've had twice, a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Okay, so there's a little party on the beach, and there's no Fallen Comrades montage, which I'm totally okay with.
Wait a second. The one thing I do want to say about Coach possibly voting with Ozzy, there was a degree to which I thought it was worth entertaining for Coach, because...
I don't honestly want to go through this.
Here's why. I think it buys him jury. It buys him some jury capital, because then it looks like he's really about this war. Like Ozzy is clearly the quote unquote warrior amongst all of them, and if he does that, you know, obviously if Ozzy actually makes it to the final Tribal Council, Ozzy wins, and thus Coach has no chance of winning if Ozzy's actually there. But it might be worth the. I think it may have actually been worth the gamble. To make the stand, I want Ozzy to try to be at this final tribal council with me. They go to the fire and take his chance with the fire and just hope Albert wins the fire challenge so that he could then have bought some capital with the jury but still gotten the same final three.
I'm not buying it.
You don't think so? You think there's no chance for that?
Not buying it.
All right.
In fact, if I was Ozzy, I'd give Coach less consideration for my vote if I ended up on the jury because... He was stupid enough to bring me along because that's just there's no value in it.
Well, that's if you were Ozzy, but with Ozzy as Ozzy, you know that would have gotten Ozzy's vote.
Let's move on.
Yeah. All right.
So before we get to the final tribal council, each one of them gets their own little vignette, and Sophie is expecting Albert to own up to the double talk he's done all game. Albert talks up his own game, says he's played better than the other two, and Coach, I thought, had the best little vignette where he talks about being the Dragon Slayer, and then game two, he's the dragon, and then he rises up as the phoenix in this game. I thought that was very poetic. I was taken in by the dragon, the lore.
You blotted hook, line, and sinker.
I was totally all, I was like, yeah, tell me about it while you do your Coachee. I want to know all about this. And I was really
enjoying it. You're in for the trilogy and everything. Huh? Yes. You're gonna wait outside story. On Thursday night for the midnight showing.
Yes. Tell me about New Moon. No, it was great. It was great. So do you want to get right to Final Tribal, or is that right?
Yeah, sure.
All right,
yeah.
So Albert opens his argument with the worst path that I like seeing, which is the complete suck-up. And it was so... Mm-hmm. Cheesified and horrible, and I'm sure everyone just sat there trying not to roll the eyes completely through the back of their heads while he was talking, because that was just insulting.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he didn't have his finger on the pulse of the game quite as good as he thought he did. And that was his problem. I think if he were actually a little more aware, he would have known how much he came off as pandering to all of them.
Uh-huh.
And if he owned up to it, it might have earned him some votes. Although, like I said, I was very surprised that... I mean, ultimately, obviously, he got no votes, right?
Yeah.
I was surprised. I thought he had a much better chance than Coach.
Yeah. I've got the breakdown here of final tribal.
So you have who actually voted for who?
Yeah. Do you want it now or do you want it later?
Yeah, go ahead and give us the three Coach votes.
Okay, so Coach votes were Brandon. Surprising.
That is kind of surprising.
Cochran, which we knew, and then Jim, mm-hmm. which is not surprising because Jim would vote for the player more than...
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I'm surprised that Edna voted for Sophie after her speech.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Albert was... Yeah, he needed to own up a little bit more.
What argument would you have made if you were him? What's the argument to win?
The same argument I want to make no matter what. I'm down here, you're up there.
But the other two could say that. What can he say that the other two can't say?
Well, I think he should have. I mean, unless I'm wrong, it seemed like he actually was genuinely trying to make those moves that he made earlier in the game, or that he tried to make.
Yeah, no, I agree. He just didn't get a single one off.
When he was trying to get Dawn and trying to vote with Dawn and Whitney and Cochran, like that seemed genuine to me, and they were calling him out as if they were not. And if I were him, I would have taken a harder line there and said that was completely legitimate. I wanted to make a big move. I didn't think you know. One of these people deserved to be here. I didn't think, you know, something about why you wanted somebody else out, you know, like throw a couple of votes on the fire into the fire in order to try to earn mm-hmm. more votes, you yeah. know, like mm-hmm. throw Rick under the bus. You're mm-hmm. not, you know, you're probably not getting Rick's vote. So.
And Rick hasn't even been one of those people at Ponderosa who's been bonding with everyone. So, if you throw Rick under the bus, who cares? You know?
Yeah. Well, maybe not, because Rick's nice and everybody likes Rick, so you throw him under the bus. That
what is so likable? We've spent, like, you know, 37 days with the guy, and I don't know what makes him likable.
He's likable because he's not unlikable.
That doesn't
he's
make
neutral.
Him likable to me.
Neutral, but in this game, neutral is likable because you're remembered for your sins, not for your
virtues.
Not for your victories.
Virtues.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like your plan of trying to burn a couple votes to get the rest. I think that is a legit strategy. So I think that's the best point to make mm-hmm. is that I attempted to make multiple moves throughout the game. It's just the wind never blew in my direction in those.
Yeah,
throw
Rick and Brandon under the bus and as unworthy of going as far as they did, and you wanted to get them out.
I think he definitely should have mentioned the attempt he made to get Sophie out with like six to go. He did, right? With six players to go. Instead of Edna, didn't he try to get Sophie out instead of Edna?
Oh yeah, no.
Or was it Sophie instead of Cochran?
It was gonna be Sophie. Yeah, I think it was going to be Sophie instead of Cochran.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was Sophie instead of Cochran.
With seven players left, yeah.
And I definitely would have mentioned that, and he did not.
Yeah, he should have. Although, on the other hand, I mean, for me, you know, if I'm on the jury, that doesn't sway me. In fact, it just shows me that you're impotent. But for them, I think it would have. I think that would have actually carried favor with them. But, for me, I think, you know, you don't want to talk about all the times you loaded the gun and then you couldn't get it to go off.
Yeah, but at least it's better than not making any. It's tough. It's a tough little call. It's a delicate thing. Sophie's opening statement appeals to my favorite thing, which is talking about how you exactly went about outwitting, outlasting, outplaying people. And she did detail it, and I kind of like pulled a quote from each opener. She says, "I came out here. I was myself. I was honest as possible." And I think the honest as possible is really the important thing there. Like, you have to lie, you have to double talk, and she, of the three people up there, did the least amount of self-contradiction.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Without
Definitely.
Seeming to be a coat tailor.
Yeah, no, I think she, which actually, I mean, of the three of them, she probably was the most coat tailing. You know, like, Albert...
But she didn't come off that way to the jury.
Right. I mean, in actuality, like, she rode coattails more than, not that she rode them a lot, necessarily, but she rode them more than the other two did. I mean, obviously, Coach didn't ride coattails, and Albert was certainly doing his damnedest to make his own way. And, like, as we just said, you know, he constantly was loading the gun, he just could never get it to go off.
Yeah. What do you think of the argument that Albert and Sophie had that they carried Coach to the end?
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird, and nobody seemed to call them out on that. Like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? You know, point to something specific for me. Like, I think Albert may have had a point, you know, in regards to, like, the first week they were out there. Like, the first 7 days, like, he may have actually done some things to help keep Coach around. But I think once Coach got past the first week, Coach did it all on his own.
Yeah. And he was the one to establish a culture of religiosity and righteousness, mm-hmm. and that was definitely him.
Yes. Certainly. You know, I made notes about each person's address to the three finalists.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm amazed at the bitterness from some of these people. Like, this is the thing I don't get, and I guess I never understood. I shouldn't be surprised now, because we saw it in Survivor Samoa in Russell's first season, when the finals were him, Natalie, and Mick, and the jury consisted of 9 people, 8 of whom weren't even members of Russell's tribe and were never shown any allegiance by Russell, except for Shambo, and they all were bitter as hell. And I don't get the bitterness when towards people who you yourself were like sworn against. Like, how could you be bitter against the guy that you were that you even said you were against? You know, that I never understood. And the same thing sort of happened here. Like, Jim seemed bitter. Jim didn't seem that bitter. Whitney seemed bitter. Keith did a good job not seeming bitter, but like, but I guess Dawn and Jim both seemed to have a decent amount of bitterness in them.
Dawn?
Like, a little bit. Am I misremembering? Maybe I'm misremembering.
You know, Dawn was kind of like, put the questions to Sophie. That's the notes that I have, and...
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I don't get is, why does everybody go up there with a question for one person?
Yeah.
That drives me a little bit nuts. Like, that to me shows so much bias. Like, yeah, I'm voting for this guy, and here's his chance to win or lose the game for himself. Like, especially Jim. Like, Jim's question was purely for Albert.
Yeah.
About why are the other two not deserving. And it doesn't sound to me like a question that's terribly tailored towards Albert. It's not like you picked some part of Albert's game.
I think he understood the argument for Coach and for Sophie, and he just wanted to know what was... Yeah, I think he did legitimately want to know why Albert should be deserving a vote, and I think Albert, you know, really dug his own grave with that one.
Especially when he... I love...
Jim says, don't start with a compliment, I hate that, and Albert's like, man, right. I love this question. This is a great question.
It's awesome. I mean, to be fair, Jim made it sound like he didn't want you to start by complimenting Coach and Sophie before you cut them down. Right. But yes, he did just then, well, I'll find a different person to compliment, you know. What would have been really great is if he just complimented, like, Probst for it or something, just because I have to start with a compliment. Probst, I really like that blue shirt.
Man, this fire is amazing tonight, guys. Let me tell you.
exactly.
Yeah. So,
Brandon was easily pandered to.
But he did put the screws to Albert, and that was one of my favorite moments of the whole thing.
He did.
Did you know I was going home, yes or no? And every time he doesn't start with yes or no, he just interrupts. He's like, yes or no. It's a simple question.
Yeah. I think Albert may have lost a lot of votes right there.
I don't know that he had them.
Maybe, yeah. But he certainly did himself no favors there. And all he had to do was just say yes or no. Like, you know, the first time Brandon cuts him off and says yes or no, you got to come back with yes or no right there. You have to come back and just say,
yeah.
No, I really didn't think you were going home.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I did, but I needed the immunity.
Or sound like, even amazed that he would even ask that question. You would doubt whether or not I was being forthright,
yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Just seem insulted. Be like, what are you talking about? No. I never knew you were going home.
What if Albert says there, yeah, I did know you were going home. But I knew if I gave you the idol back, it was me who was going home.
What if he says that? No, I would not have respected that.
You wouldn't have respected that?
I mean, that's all on Brandon. I don't think Albert has any necessary requirement there to give it back, even with Probst.
No. I'm not saying he had any requirement to give it back.
I know, but I'm saying
that should be it. He
shouldn't have to say that. He shouldn't have to say that.
I think he might have won some votes if he says that.
You're very liberal with how you think these votes are going out.
Well, maybe, yeah. Edna was what? Edna was the breath of fresh air that I did not expect.
Yeah. And
I thought it was gonna have to be Cochran.
I feel like
she beat him to the punch.
I feel like it was a response to Rick and Whitney. They came shortly before her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Rick was talking about how Sophie lied to this thing, and he was calling out Albert about using God, and Whitney obviously was all upset, and Edna's like,
Rick didn't deserve the 5 minutes that he got.
No, well, we can move past that. Yeah. You know, Edna's like,
I don't know why he had beef with Sophie being alive. He'd never said anything about Sophie.
Edna's like, we came here to be duped, and we signed up for this. Right. And that's like our message. We should have Edna on the show.
I know. I couldn't believe it. Like, this was amazing to me because this did not – it didn't fit in line with what I had seen of Edna the whole whatever – however long she was out there, 20-something days.
Where was this Edna throughout the whole game?
Yeah. Yeah. I was refreshed and amen to you, Edna. And then Cochran, he says it in his vote, you know, Coach played a great game. He just needs to take the veil of honor and integrity off of it all.
Yeah.
One problem, of course, is I don't think his game works as well if he doesn't sit there and preach honor and integrity all the time. Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
Well, again, it's like you have to play with the people you're playing with. And the only way he could rally the people around him to play with him was to preach on integrity, specifically Brandon, which is why he never should have aligned himself with that guy anyways. You know, if you wanted to play this game with him, you had to play it the way he was doing it, and that ultimately led to him having to be a hypocrite in the game, and that was his downfall, was all the backstabbing he had to do in the name of honor and integrity, which, you know, he never should have played that way.
Yeah, and that reminds me of his, you know, Cochran, you know, he did a good job appreciating the games that were played. And then he asked Coach about it, about his game, and he told him to talk about it without using the word honor. And Coach launched into some analogy involving a deck of cards, and I did not understand the analogy. It didn't make any sense to me.
I missed it.
It was, I mean, that, and then there was also, I think I should give everybody a bit of a pass. I mean, this is day, you know, 37, 38, 39 out there, but this episode was loaded with, like, mixed metaphors and stuff. I didn't write it down, but there was one where Ozzy, I wish I could remember what it was, but Ozzy just completely mixes his metaphors.
They're doing it all the time.
The analogies that were being used did not make any sense whatsoever. Coach is talking about a deck of cards that he's building up, and then it all comes down, and I'm like, what? What does that have to do with your just telling everybody you want to take them to the final?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then, did you notice Albert and Sophie chiming in at the end of his talk to Cochran? Well, I was the strategist. Well,
yes.
What was that?
That was weird.
It was very weird, and I was surprised that, I mean, I was surprised that that went unaddressed as well. Like, what was that? Like, what are you talking about? You were the strategist. Like, I asked Coach a question, and, like, he's trying to explain something, and then you chime in and try to take credit for all the stuff he did?
Right.
Like,
and this is after Coach admitted that his strategy was terrible because it ended up with him having this mess on his hands at the end of the game.
I guess I'm to blame for that. I was the strategist. I set him up to be a fall guy. Sorry.
Yeah,
very strange.
All right. So we got to keep this thing moving. We're at like an hour mark, Chris. Let's keep moving. Back at the live set. It goes Coach Sophie, and Coach gives his Dragon Slayer move after the first vote, and then Sophie mocks it in the second vote.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good. In her own little Sophie way. She's got, like, you know, she's got some of that adorkability, you know, that, like, America is loving right now.
Adorkability? You know, did you really just use that word for, what is that, the new girl or something?
The new girl, Zooey Deschanel, you know, she's not, like, conventionally attractive, but, you know, she's definitely got something going for her, you know,
Okay, Zooey Deschanel is, like, way...
I'm not comparing.
Has
I'm not
way
comparing.
More going for her.
I'm not
than
comparing Zooey Deschanel and Sophie. I am saying that Sophie has some things going for her in an adorable way, but she is not adorable like Zooey. So
okay,
let's be clear on that.
Okay,
So I again, we kind of talked about it here. You know, I'm okay saying that you're okay with this this champion. I'm okay with it. I think she's an excellent choice.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't love it, but maybe I'm just bitter because you won the prop bet.
I did win the $13 from you. So
is that what it was, $13?
Yeah, your 13 to my 10. I'll take it. And we're talking about metaphorical dollars here. We're not gambling in any way because that's a
right.
Result.
Yes. Yes, they're karma dollars. I mean, part of me really wanted Ozzy to win. But part of me also really didn't want Ozzy or Coach to win. Because I felt like if Ozzy or Coach won, like, it just shuts down the show.
Yep.
You know? So in that sense, I'm glad that it was at least Sophie or Albert.
Why would you apply to be on the show when you're just going to get run over by a former contestant?
Yeah. And it sounds like with the tease for next season, they're not going to be bringing back more survivors, more returners.
And did you hear the twist, Chris?
They've taken us up on our suggestion. You mentioned
my
it in a
suggestion,
podcast.
And I'm so excited.
One of our 40 downloads must be Mark Burnett. I mean, I wouldn't have expected.
You know, we've only suggested 50 different ways to improve the show, and they took one. And
I'll take it.
I could not be more excited. So.
Yeah.
Season 24 will be on a single beach, and there will be politics between the tribes involved, and I can't wait. Like,
yeah.
There was no reason that they had to be isolated, you know, except maybe for cameraman work. You know, I'm sure the scrambling from the cameraman is going to be ratcheted way up.
Yeah. But yeah, we've been lobbying for this for a while. I mean, full credit to you, you specifically came up with this idea, but I've been lobbying in general for they need to do something to increase the degree to which there are more than just minor or passing connections between any random two cast members from opposite tribes. They need to increase the opportunities for interactions. My suggestion was, you know, shuffling the tribes after every episode or something. But this is we both are very on board with this as wholeheartedly.
I mean,
think about the
promises you can make now that you have communication between the tribes. Like,
yeah.
You can be like, you should take me with you. Like, don't vote me off because I can get you this guy and that girl from the other side. And you know, just the amount of lying and.
Well, here's the thing, is my major concern is they need to make, aren't these tribes going to be men and women? Is that what you said you heard?
Yeah, I mean, those are all internet rumors. The only thing we have confirmed last night was that it was two tribes living on the same beach.
Okay.
Now, for the purposes of identification, I think CBS should go man-woman, just so it's easy to tell on
well,
the single
that's
beach
what I was thinking, exactly. Yeah, because you're not because the buffs aren't always prominently displayed. I was thinking exactly that. If you have men versus women, it's easy to tell.
Yeah. Unless Shambo's on the team somehow, then
or Keith for that matter. Did you notice?
Yeah.
I mean, some of the shots Keith looked more like a well-groomed lesbian than a well-groomed man. I swear, he looked like Vanessa Selbst or something at one point.
The poker player. Yeah.
He looked like, I mean, not close up, but like he was turned to the side, and it was a shot that was, you know, far enough out that you could see the whole cast sitting there, and plenty of the set. So we're not way zoomed in on him or anything. But I was like he looks more like a lesbian than he does, you know, a pretty boy.
Was Michaela there last night? Because if she was.
Yeah.
Whoever was there, it didn't look like her. Like, that was like a, I don't know.
No, Michaela, it looked like Michaela. It was Elise that didn't look like herself.
Elise, I could tell who Elise was, but Michaela.
Really?
Kind of weird. I don't know.
I had the opposite. It was, because Michaela was sitting second from the end, right next to Christine.
Right.
And Elise was sitting right next to Michaela.
Correct.
And I did not recognize Elise at all. I was like,
we're going
who's that Asian woman?
Elise is half Japanese, isn't there? Her last name is Japanese.
Really?
Yeah.
Stacy and I both were having trouble identifying that person at first. Like I was sitting there, I couldn't even come up with a name at first. I was like, is it Ellen? Ellen or something? And after a minute or two, we came up with Elise. But I knew it was Michaela next to her. But I don't know. That was odd. And they didn't... I feel like they've gotten worse about their reunion shows. They need to either lengthen the reunion show or stop talking to the three people who are already dominated the show like crazy. Like...
You want little bits from everyone?
Yeah, or just don't have them there. Like, what the heck did Semhar and
Papa Bear
show up for? And
Papa Elise Bear came out like trying to get like max camera time. Like he comes out,
he did,
like
yes.
waving his arms, like, "Hey, Papa Bear's here. Did you miss me? Because I'm here
it's
now."
It's true. It's true. But Semhar, Elise, Papa Bear, Michaela, all four of them did not speak during the entire recap.
I was okay with that.
Why are they there? Why are we parading these people back out there? Make the show longer so you can actually do your check-ins. I liked it. I actually liked it when he would do his check-ins. You know, in past seasons, he would make sure he got to every single person.
I'm just glad there was no uncomfortable proposals.
Yeah, that's true, right? David proposed to, what was her name? Was it Caroline?
Yeah,
Caroline?
I don't know. That was really uncomfortable.
And she just sort of paused for a while?
Yeah.
Was that a yes? What's going on here?
We got more God in this episode, or in the reunion, I mean.
Oh, what are you referring to specifically?
Well, just all of it. More of it in Ozzy, or to be fair, I actually am much more okay with Ozzy's moment.
Oh,
or
about
two,
nature and God?
Nature, yeah, with nature and God and all that, than, you know, all of the ridiculousness that came from Coach. This season. I mean, I don't even mind Brandon's. It's just the other stuff that just, ugh.
Yeah, no, the rest of it definitely seemed to be religious for the sake of a game and not for the sake of religion.
Yeah.
As cheesy and as wince-inducing as Brandon's faith was, you knew it was coming from a place of genuine, like,
yeah.
fervor within him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard to see him talk about how his family is like disappointed in him, because like he seems like a genuinely good kid now, and like I don't want him to like, be feeling like, you know, his family thinks he's a disappointment, because I think he's more at peace. You know, he's not going to go back to being a gangbanger. And
yeah, that was harsh. Right. I mean, to hear
people
about
people should be
like,
happy for him.
Yes, exactly. Like, okay, so you didn't like. So you didn't play the game the way Russell played it, but he did get pretty far. Like, I mean, you and I will certainly make the case that he got that far in spite of himself. But regardless, he got fairly far, and he's okay with how he played the game. Like,
yeah.
that's just messed up that his family is coming down on him
yeah,
about that.
I agree.
Mean, I don't mind Russell's critique of him, because, you know, Jeff stuck a mic in his face, and he even gave Brandon the opportunity. He was like, you know, he said, "I'm your uncle. You want me to sit down and shut up, I'll sit down and shut up. But if you want me to critique your game, I'll critique your game." And then Jeff kind of put the screws to him and said, "Critique his game." So he did. And ultimately, you know, Russell has become, you know, a bit of a caricature of himself, and he's become, you know, a personality that's associated with Survivor and et cetera, that, you know, that I think, you know, I think his critique, etc., is more excusable than, you know, random family members otherwise. You know, I mean, I don't want to come after that family or anything. Certainly their venom is not such that I want on me. But that seems kind of messed up that that his family's not supporting him.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and, you know, Russell tried to draw the line between Uncle Russell and the game Russell, but
exactly.
It came out ugly either way.
It did, but I mean, it also is not a surprise. I mean, because, you know, at the very least, Russell, he's compartmentalizing it. He's not turning this into a, like, "I'm disappointed in you as my nephew" thing. Like, he said, "If you want me to critique your game, I'll critique your game. I'll give you what I thought of it." And when Jeff repeated the question, he gave it. To me, at least, he made it clear that this was not indicative of how he felt about him as a member of his family or anything like that.
It didn't come off that way.
Really?
Yeah, it felt pretty personal, and especially watching how how Brandon was taking it, I felt bad for the kid. And you know, now he's giving himself this terrible haircut, and he's clearly, like, still struggling to make good choices.
Well, yes. But I see what you're saying. I mean, Russell did get up, and he said, what was wrong with the Hans name? What was needed to be cleaned up or anything like that? And that certainly, I don't know. Again, I think he makes a fair point. Like, he's not, you know, it's not like he went out there and, like, killed people or something like that. He went out there and played a game and, oh, by the way, played it pretty damn well. So, I don't think it was that bad. I mean,
what do you make of Brandon giving Coach's vote?
I'm not surprised. I mean, it's
he is blindly loyal. Man, he got stabbed in the back, and he is still loyal.
I don't even know if I'd necessarily call it blindly loyal as much as it's, I think it's, you know, more a part of his, like, I need to accept God and my faith and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, the big thing for him is forgiveness. You know, I get the impression that he carried a lot of, in his past life, he talked about being in a gang, etc. I get the impression that a lot of that was driven by grudges. I mean, that's not a tough leap to make, right?
A lot of stuff with gangs is, see, here's the thing. It's a fun little analogy, because a lot of stuff with being in a gang is wanting to belong to something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being Christian for some people is about belonging to something. In this case, belonging to the group of Christians that are very strong and together. And in
this
case, like, he's getting his sense of togetherness with being a Christian. And, you know, just as he would blindly follow his gang member brothers into a fight, he is blindly, you know, following his belief that God has called him to, you know, trust Coach and give him his vote for $1 million. Like, I don't get that.
I think the difference is, though, is I think, you know, he didn't talk about it, and he's certainly not, he's not well-spoken enough to be able to put this into words in, you know, a 30-second window that he's given by Probst. But it seems like he's made the realization that all of these choices he made, being in a gang, etc., were poor choices, and I get the impression that he there's some recognition that a lot of that world, the gang world, is driven by grudges and getting hung up on these little things, and so-and-so was slighted because of, you know, XYZ that happened, and, you know, making a mountain out of a bunch of molehills. And, you know, I think he recognized that, and he's now swinging to the opposite side of the spectrum, in choosing this faith to sort of wed himself to. And, you know, one of the big things there is forgiveness, and I think he sees that as his way out of what he used to do.
His redemption.
Exactly. Like, he used to be very hung up on a lot of things that were, you know, he was wronged, his family was wronged, his gang was wronged, or whatever. And he's realized that doing that is just going to make him a very angry person and make him feel more and more tempted to do things that are evil, wrong, whatever. And instead, he's trying to get into the habit of just forgiving people. And, you know, and I think his vote for Coach was just another sign of that he's, you know, he said it to Albert when he said that you lied to me, but he also said, I forgive you. You know, like, that's, I think that's just Brandon's flavor of the month right now.
Yeah.
Is forgiveness, you know?
Yeah. So he's just trying this forgiveness thing for a while and see how that works out.
Yeah.
Was there anything else from the reunion special you wanted to talk about?
Not really. I thought it was funny that Probst kind of, singled out Jim as, like, by the way, I thought you were a good player who didn't really get to do much.
We both agreed with that.
I mean, I sort of agree with it, too. I thought it was strange, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe Probst sees all this stuff, and so he's, I don't know. It just seemed odd to me that he singled him out. I don't know why.
The best line of the night goes to Cochran when Probst asks him if he's dating, and he's like, nope, come at me.
Come at me. Well, the funny thing is it's a weird way to ask the question, because it's like, I could see how you'd answer the question both ways to mean the same thing. Like, I mean, I think what he meant really was, yes, like, I want to be, like, I'm open to dating. I'm not, like, I don't know. Like, you could go either way with that. Like, if you say no, that to me says, no, I'm not dating. Like, I'm not trying to date anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I would think you would say yes, like, I want to be dating people, you know?
Yeah, but he's, like, asking if he has a girlfriend or anything.
I guess that's what I mean. It was also a poorly formed question.
Yeah, perhaps.
Anyway. And they presented the check on the show. What's that all about? What happened to the CBS Morning
Survivor
Show?
Survivor has no buzz with the Julie Chen CBS Morning Show.
I guess. Does she host that?
Mm-hmm. ChenBot. That's where she came from.
I thought she was on The Talk.
Big Brother.
Right, she's Big Brother, but now she's on The Talk with, like... It's like The View 2.0. It's her and Sharon Osbourne.
Maybe she's moved on. I don't know.
And the
let's snuff the
girls
torch.
And Roseanne.
Let's snuff the torch on season 24.
God, snuff the torch.
We're snuffing the torch.
We're gonna burn the buff.
Let's burn these buffs. By the way, when Brandon kissed his, I'm sure he contracted something horrible from that buff.
Sure.
Okay, where can they find us, Chris?
They can find us online. The email address is. podcast@tc.vambi.net, or on Twitter the handle is Tribal Podcast, and we look forward to the new season.
I am completely re-energized by the notion of the One Beach, and please God, they didn't say it would be there. It could still be, but hopefully Redemption Island is gone. Hopefully returning survivors in twos is gone.
Returning Survivors, period, is gone.
No. Like, the All-Star episodes, the All-Star seasons are great.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I mean, yeah. It's like, you don't, you either bring them all back, or you don't bring
correct.
Any back.
Yes.
You're building an unlevel playing field otherwise.
We will be back in February. Thank you all for being so patient with us and sticking with us through this whole thing. It's been a real thrill bringing this to you, the 10 of you who have been tuning in. Chris?
Nothing more for me.
All right, man. Come back in February, and thanks again for listening. Have a good one.